Dead to Sin, Before You Ever Sinned, by Steve Martin. One of the most misunderstood verses in Scripture may be the opening words of Ephesians chapter 2. Most English translations read, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins." For generations, this has been understood to mean that people are spiritually lifeless because of their sins until God eventually makes them alive. It has become one of the foundational proof texts for explaining the condition of fallen humanity. But what if Paul was saying something much more profound? What if the phrase actually should be translated, "dead to your offenses and sins"? That small preposition changes everything. The difference between being dead in something and being dead to something is enormous. When we say that someone is dead to the world, we mean that they are oblivious to everything happening around them. When someone says, "He's dead to me," they mean that the relationship has been severed. The object still exists, but it no longer defines the relationship. That is Paul's point. Throughout the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul has already taken us back before creation itself. Before the disruption of the world, before Adam, before sin, before failure, before any human being had taken a single breath. God had already chosen us in Christ. He had already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He had already predestined us to sonship. He had already designated our inheritance according to His own purpose. Every one of those statements is written as an accomplished fact. Nothing in chapter 1 is presented as something God hopes to do someday. It has already been done. This means that our standing before God was established before sin ever entered the picture. Think about that for a moment. If God chose us before sin existed, then sin never could become the determining factor of our relationship with Him. It was always secondary. It was always part of the story that God Himself wrote to reveal something greater than sin ever could reveal. Religion often begins the story in Genesis chapter 3. Paul begins the story before Genesis chapter 1. That changes the entire perspective. When Christ died, we died with Him. When He was raised, we were raised with Him. When He was seated among the celestials, we were seated in Him. Our identity is not built upon what Adam introduced, but upon what Christ accomplished. That is why understanding "dead to your offenses and sins" fits so beautifully into the flow of Ephesians. Paul is not suddenly interrupting his glorious description of our heavenly calling to remind us about how terrible we are. Instead, he is reinforcing the very point he has already been making. Our offenses do not determine our standing because we are dead to them in Christ. Notice where this passage occurs. Ephesians is beautifully divided into two sections. The first three chapters establish doctrine, our position, our calling, our standing before God. The last three chapters discuss deportment, how we live because of who we already are. Paul always establishes identity before instruction, grace before gratitude, standing before walking. If we read Ephesians 2 primarily as a description of unbelievers becoming believers, we miss the flow of Paul's argument. He is still explaining our position. He is still describing truths that were settled in Christ long before our conduct entered the conversation. This doesn't mean that believers never sin. Far from it. Paul himself describes the ongoing conflict between flesh and spirit. In Romans 7, he openly admits doing the very things he hates. James tells us that we all stumble in many ways. John says that if we claim to have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Scripture is remarkably honest about the weakness of human experience. Yet none of those passages suggest that our standing changes every time we stumble. Our walk may become topsy-turvy from time to time. Our position never does. That is the wonderful distinction that Paul keeps making throughout Ephesians. Our behavior belongs to the realm of experience. Our acceptance belongs to the realm of God's purpose. Those two should never be confused. Religion often reverses the order. It teaches that our position rises and falls with our performance. Every victory moves us closer to God. Every failure pushes us farther away. Assurance becomes impossible because acceptance depends upon yesterday's behavior and tomorrow's improvement. Paul teaches exactly the opposite. Our acceptance was settled before we were born, before we had obeyed, before we had disobeyed, before we had believed, before we had doubted, before we had succeeded, before we had failed. God had already written the story. That doesn't encourage careless living. It produces confident living. When we know that our Father's love cannot be threatened by our failures, we no longer obey out of fear. We begin living out of gratitude. A change in behavior becomes the fruit of security instead of the price of acceptance. This is why Ephesians is so different from so much religious teaching. It begins in heaven. It begins with blessing. It begins with God's purpose. It begins before sin. The story does not start with man's failure. It starts with God's grace. That perspective changes everything. We discover that sin was never the center of God's story. Christ always was. Long before we committed our first offense, our Father had already chosen us in His Son. Long before we took our first step, He had already written the journey. Long before we experienced our first failure, He had already determined the outcome. Our standing has never rested upon the strength of our performance. It has always rested upon the perfection of His purpose. That is why Paul can spend 3 chapters describing the riches of God's grace before he ever tells us how to walk. He wants us to understand that we don't walk in order to obtain our calling. We walk because our calling has already been given. That is the freedom of grace. That is what Paul meant all along when he said that we are dead, not in our offenses and sins, but dead to them.